Time now for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. We get together with Thorin Christendotter. We talk about some of the stories that you can find in Main Street Magazine. And we bring in Thorin right now. Good morning, Thorin. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Pretty good. How about you?
I'm fine. I'm not looking forward to Saturday and Sunday with the weather forecasts that they're calling for such a freeze. And you know what's bad about these freezes that come in like this? On Friday, it's going to be in the 50s with rain. And then Friday night and Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be bitter cold with wind chills around zero.
Ooh.
You know, you can't have a worse combination of feeling nice and warm and then bitter cold. But then again, it's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and I'll just stay hunkered up in Casa Miles, Santa Land.
Exactly. Well, I have a couple of friends who are in Western Canada, and they've been posting some pictures, and it's negative 40 in the wind chill there. So I was like, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad here.
No, and Papagano does tell anybody, if you've got a plane scheduled for Friday, see if you can change it to Thursday, because the airports from Atlanta, Hartsfield, to Chicago, and into New York will all be dealing with high winds and probably massive delays. So if you can, try to change it. And if not, just grit your teeth and see what happens. Speaking about traveling, see how I put that in there so smartly. And
nice segue, yeah.
You've got an article, the Housatonic Valley Regional High School International Travel Club, which, by the way, has just gone from a few members to tons of members. The title of the magazine piece is "Oh, the Places You'll Go."
Indeed, Ian Straver, who is not just one of our writers, but the principal at Hoosie, penned this. So he has a kind of behind the scenes angle at this, but he shared with us the travel club and some of the places they've gone, and kind of the global awareness that it brings. You know, so it's not just that the kids get to travel, but you know, the meaning behind it, the values it brings to them, and then also talks a little bit about the places they've gone and the things that they've learned.
Well, I think what's really important about a travel club like this, first of all, the way they've revamped their fundraising and everything, the community's involved. And basically, if they can do it, no kid is left behind. No student is left behind. Second of all, what better way to get to understand and know the world than if you're a teenager, a student, and you go and you hang out in other lands and you meet other students and other people your age? What better way to understand other cultures?
It's really important, and you know, to see that there's more to life than, you know, just kind of our own bubble. Not to say that our bubble isn't great, but it gives you a wider perspective and maybe helps you look at the world a little differently.
Yeah, a much better understanding. I mean, a lot of Americans, their only exposure to other parts of the world are when the Olympics come up. Every 2 years they have an Olympics. One is winter, one is summer. Or else when you get like the World Cup that came up this year every 4 years. But other than that, the interaction and trying to understand what goes on. I remember when the Olympics were in Japan, and so many Americans were just amazed that the bathrooms in certain places in Japan were designed for Japanese people, which are totally different. Than American bathrooms. And I remember some people had emailed me and saying, you know, if a country holds an Olympics, they should have bathrooms like America. And so I said, no, that's not the purpose of the Olympics. Isn't to try to copy everything that America has. It's you go to another country, you meet and greet other athletes, you participate, and you live the much of the culture as you can. And that's where the travel club at Housatonic is so great. And like I said, if you went back 5 or 6 years, I think maybe the travel club sent 4 or 5 kids, students. I'm not going to call them kids anymore because students aren't kids anymore.
Right.
It sent 4 or 5, but now they're in the teens. And I think they even might take multiple trips a year, which, like I said, Housatonic is great because it's got the foreign travel club. It's also got where they bring foreign students here where they exchange students every year. And it's just a terrific way to get to know people from other individuals. Like I said, when I was in high school, our foreign exchange student, Anne Marie, was from Austria. And to this day, because of one of the good things about Facebook and social media, we all still in the class can connect with her and see see how she's doing 50 years later. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, we'll go on to memories. Of course, there's holiday memories and holiday remembrances. Now, I don't know what it was like when you were growing up. When I was a kid, every year we would move and we would celebrate different holidays and we would go to different people's houses in the family. And when I say there would be 50 people that would show up. You know, they were huge, big family get-togethers for Christmas, for New Year's, for July 4th, for, you know, all these holidays, Thanksgiving. And you've got a great story about holiday remembrances. And, you know, when I sit down every year around Thanksgiving and Christmas, they come flooding back the great memories.
Well, it's the traditions that we've created, right? So for this article, Jesse DeGruy is one of our new writers who has joined our ranks, and he shared a personal piece about his holiday remembrances and, you know, about making memories and about some of the specific things that happened in his family when he was a child that he's brought forward to today. And so it's a, you know, fairly personal piece, but I think it still resonates with a lot of us, just like you said, you know, your holiday traditions and, you know, having 50 people gathered at your table.
It was, you know, and I love the pictures that he's got in the story. And it just it reminded me of whenever it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, I would always hang out in the kitchen with my grandmother and her sisters.
Yeah.
And to this day, I think I'm the only one that cooks what they used to cook, were pierogies, potato pancakes, stuffed cabbage, peppers. I mean, I learned all those recipes from just hanging out with these four incredible cooks. And then I love sitting at the children's table because while everybody else got to talk politics and everything, I would get to make a turkey and cranberry and stuffing sandwich. Part of my growing up experience. Well, anyway, then you go from that story to New Year's traditions around the world.
Yeah, Regina researched a bunch of traditions and she's outlined them in, I don't know, about a dozen different countries, from Colombia and Croatia to Denmark and France. And she talks, it just highlights a few of the traditions in that country and those cultures. And it, just like the travel club we were talking about, just understanding different cultures and some of the ins and outs of it. Here are some of the specifically New Year's traditions of these places. And, you know, some are really fun and some are super interesting and some are, you know, very curious. So, you know, I enjoyed reading it and learning a little bit about these different countries and what they have going on around the New Year's.
You know, and when I think of New Year's, I've never, ever had the inclination to be in New York on New Year's Eve. Just
me either.
I can't see standing outside in cold weather and being literally no place to go within a three-block area and being shoulder-to-shoulder with people. But we had a great piece done by someone who actually participated in throwing the confetti.
Okay.
And it was a great piece, and it mentioned that you had a thorough background check. There are unbelievable rules to throwing the confetti. And he said it was one of the most amazing experiences he ever had, being in that top of that building with the windows open and throwing out all this confetti. And it was a great look at a different way of celebrating New Year's Eve, actually being with the person throwing confetti out the windows. Michael White from Hillsdale General Store. He's the one who told us about it, and then he records a segment, and each New Year's we play that segment because it's a terrific segment. Well, so we've talked about this. What's coming up next on the calendar for the month of January?
Usually January doesn't have any theme, so we have a little bit of a mixture of stories, but we're really starting to prep, you know, for our 10-year anniversary, which is coming up in March. And I can't believe that Mainstream Magazine is going to be 10, but it's kind of a big deal, I guess. And so we're looking to celebrate. I'm hoping to make our biggest issue yet in order to celebrate that. And, you know, we're doing some looking back and compilation stuff, and all the writers have kind of free rein for that. But usually March is our animal and farming issue, so we've moved that up to February, so that we can make a very special anniversary issue. And so, you know, we're getting pretty excited about these upcoming issues for the next quarter or so. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot going on with that.
Main Street Magazine, of course, for free pickup throughout our tri-state region, and also their companion website, mainstreetmag.com, on the web. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, Thorne, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Happy holidays.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. And, of course, you can find Main Street Magazine at mainstreetmag.com.